When life has you down, who is your go-to person that you go to be encouraged? Also stop and think, how many times do people come to you so that they can be encouraged? That's what I want us to consider this morning, is encouraging one another and being the sons of encouragement. Before we get into that lesson, again, it's good to see everyone that is able to be out this morning. We need to be mindful and hopeful and prayerful for Sister Nella as Ron took her home from service this morning. We also need to remember Brother Code, who is not feeling well this morning. Let's look at that scripture reading again in Joshua chapter 1. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance in the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. And look at verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the word, the Lord your God, is with you wherever you go. And then drop down to verse 18. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words, and all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. When we talk about encouragement, we see in this word encouragement the word courage, which is repeated over and over here in Joshua chapter 1. What is courage? It's mental or moral strength to venture, to persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. So we need courage in life. We need courage. Life is not static. There are going to be storms that come along. There are going to be people that come along that want to disrupt us. They want to discourage us. When we look at the word encourage, it means to inspire with courage, spirit or hope, hearten, to stimulate for good. We want to encourage one another. Next week, I want us to look at discourage. Discourage is to deprive of courage or confidence, dishearten. Not only are there sons of encouragement, there are sons of discouragement, and we need to learn to recognize those, and how do we deal with those people. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and look at the first five verses. And I want us to consider a few verses on encouragement, and then we'll get into an example. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we were appointed to this. For in fact, we told you before when we were with you that we would suffer tribulation, just as it happened, and you know. For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to your faith, lest by some means the tempter attempted you, and her labor might be in vain. So notice what Paul is writing. He says, when we could no longer endure it. There are times in life when we might feel like we can no longer endure things. We thought it good to be left in Athens alone. Notice he says, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith. We need encouragement. And down in verse 5, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter attempted you and our labor might be in vain. We must have courage. We must encourage each other. and we must stay full of courage. So the purpose of this lesson is to encourage us to encourage others. We need to take that home with us when we leave. Consider in Matthew chapter 14, the account of Jesus had fed the 5,000 men besides women and children. He got in a boat. He was leaving. He sent the multitudes away. He went up on a mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, his disciples, walking on the sea. And the disciples saw him walking on the sea, and they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost," and they cried for fear. But immediately Jesus said to them, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." We see in this that every Christian needs encouragement. When we are not encouraged, we are discouraged. We are not strengthened. And when we are discouraged, when we focus on the troubles of life, what happens? Just like with Peter, we sink. We sink. When we are discouraged and we focus on the troubles in life, we sink. We are told to encourage each other. We've seen this in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." When we consider one another, we've got to think about ways to do that. In Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Again, this is something that we do regularly. We exhort one another daily. We encourage one another daily. So friend, God comforts us so that we can comfort others. And several passages concerning this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so also our consolation also abounds through Christ." God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. We ultimately get our encouragement from God, but as children of God, we need to imitate God and encourage one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. "So encouraging each other in faith is an attribute of discipleship. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing." This idea of comfort and encouraging, lifting someone up. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14. "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly." That's going to be the discourager we'll look at next week. "Warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all." So comfort the faint-hearted. There are some people that need more encouragement than others, but we all need encouragement. Now, when we think of encouragement, we've looked at half a dozen or more verses talking about courage and encouraging each other. There's somebody in the New Testament that stands out, and he is noted for his encouragement. So let's turn to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. And let's begin reading at verse 32. Now, the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, and the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. For all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. And Joseph, who is also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. And just for a minute to go into chapter 5, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. He kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. We know the story of Ananias and Sapphira. They sold land. They lied to the Holy Spirit. They were struck dead, and there was great fear came over the whole church. And I think it's interesting that we have Barnabas, the son of encouragement, and Ananias and Sapphira mentioned back to back. That's one of the disadvantages of chapter breaks, because the story flows all together. You have a contrast, somebody doing something the right way and somebody doing something the wrong way. But Barnabas was a son of encouragement. He was a son of encouragement. And notice too, of all the things we're going to see that is mentioned about him when we get into this, sometimes people focus on the fact, well, he was encouraging because he had land and he sold it and he brought the money to the apostles' feet. Well, he wasn't the only one, because look back in verse 34, nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold. So anybody, everybody, all who owned land or houses sold them here at the Jerusalem, these early disciples, and brought the money to distribute as there was need. So there's something different about him that makes him an encourager, because everybody else sold their land and brought the money to the apostles' feet also. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, and we'll begin reading at verse 19. Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he had come and seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all with purpose of heart that they should continue the Lord. Look at verse 23 again. When he came with them when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all with purpose of heart that they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people who were added to the Lord. We see different things here about Barnabas. The Lord was with them and blessed them. A great number believed. He encouraged them with purpose of heart. He had a resolute heart. He was determined to encourage them. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And because of this, a great many people were added to the Lord. So stop and think about this. The church at the news, verse 22, the news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. Why did they send Barnabas? He was known for being someone that had these qualities, and he was an encourager. And he's going to send them to encourage another group. Now, if we had, say, the church here at New Lebanon had to pick somebody to send to another group, just stop and think. Who would we send? Who would we send? Would we have to sit around and look and scratch our head and look at each other and say, who can we send to encourage this group over there? Or would we say, oh, we've got so many people, it's going to be a hard decision. Anybody, everybody here could go and encourage. But there was something about Barnabas that made him different, that he went to encourage this other group. He was selected. Each of us ought to ask ourselves, if the church were to send somebody from here to encourage another group, would it be me? Would they pick me? An encourager is of great value to the church. And if we are not a good encourager, we need to learn to be a good encourager. Because as we've read in these verses, we are admonished to encourage each other, to give us this courage, this mental, this moral strength, to venture, to persevere, withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. So in Barnabas, we find qualities that we need to encourage each other. Back in Acts chapter 4, in verse 37, we see that he was a generous man. We need to be generous with our possessions, our money, and again, that's not really ours, it's God's. God owns everything, but we need to be generous with our possessions, our money, our thoughts, our words, and our actions toward others. We're thinking something good about somebody? Well, open our mouth and say it. Have you ever been with somebody and you left them and you just think, I wish I had said this to them. I wish I could see them one more time just to let them know this or that. And again, he was generous, but he wasn't the only one that sold his land and his house. They all did that. He was an unselfish man. Again, in Acts 4:37, we saw where he was unselfish and sacrificing for the welfare of others. And we see that in sharp contrast to Ananias and Sapphira, where they sold, but they were hypocrites. They lied. They really didn't have their heart in what they were doing. The Christians here were helping the other Christians. Ananias and Sapphira wanted it to appear that, oh yeah, we're generous people. We want to help. We want to encourage you. But that wasn't the intent of their heart. In chapter 11 that we looked at in verse 22, he was a devoted man. The encourager must be eager to help, to assist, to work, and the encourager is interested in others. And shouldn't we be interested in each other here? Can I make it to heaven on my own? I tell you something, I can't make it on my own. I can't, and let me tell you something, if you haven't figured it out yet, you can't make it to heaven on your own. You can't. We all need each other. That's why Christ built his church. A church where we are a body. We come together. Why do we come together? To encourage each other. Because we're going to face storms in life. We're going to face people in life that are going to set us back. And Satan is going to be busy doing that. But we need to be eager to help, to assist, to encourage each other. How are you doing this week? How did your day go? Did you have any problems this week? Is there anything I can help you with? Would you like to study about something? Also, an encourager, a son of encouragement, is a spiritually perceptive man. In verse 23, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and encouraged them all with purpose of heart that they should continue with the Lord. You can have two people walk into a group, into the same group, and one person is just going to be focused on themselves. Boy, I can't wait till I get home. I've got to do this and this and that, and I didn't get this done, and I want to go here and I want to go there. And he's going to look at that group, and then when he leaves, he's going to go on and go back just thinking about himself. The other person is going to look to that group to be perceptive to their needs. Just like when we were studying in Nehemiah, and he went before the king was perceptive. Nehemiah, why are you looking sad? Do we take the time to see how people are looking, what's going on in their life? To be a son of encouragement, we need to be spiritually perceptive. We can't be so wrapped up and absorbed in ourselves that we are blind to what's going on right around us. We need to look out over each other. We need to look up to God. Well, a son of encouragement is... he's a good man. Notice in verse 24, it says, he was a good man. How would you define a good man? Well, I think the sentence goes ahead and helps us define it. He was a good man. Why was he a good man? He was full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. Are we full of the Holy Spirit? Do you know how you can tell if you're full of the Holy Spirit? If you're producing fruit of the Spirit. If you're producing fruit of the Spirit. If we aren't producing fruit of the Spirit, are we full of the Holy Spirit? He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. You know, when we stop and think about this, a great many people were added to the Lord. Sometimes we say, you know, we have this ESP. I know this person isn't interested. They don't want to hear the gospel. I know that person. They aren't going to be interested. Have you ever met somebody that didn't want to be encouraged? Have you ever met somebody that didn't need encouragement? No, we're around people every day that need encouragement. Maybe if we stop and encourage somebody as they're going through this life, that's going to be the open door to share the gospel with them. We need to be encouragers. We need to be encouragers. Colossians 2:1, for I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. Our hearts need to be encouraged. They need to be knit together. You take something that's knit together, is it easy to pull apart? It's not easy. Now, as a group, as a congregation, if our hearts are knit together, is it going to be easy to pull apart? It's not going to be easy. But if our hearts aren't going to be knit together, it's going to be easy for Satan to rip a congregation apart. We need to encourage one another, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. Encouraging someone, encouraging. A word can be encouraging. A smile can be encouraging. A word of teaching can be encouraging. An effort to rescue someone from sin and error, that's encouraging. An offer to help when others need help, that's encouraging. We have things going on in our lives. Do we stop and offer to help somebody? That's encouraging. The encourager looks for the opportunity to encourage someone. And I gotta mention this before I forget it. So like I've told David what a great encouragement he is to me and to us for coming and visiting. And do I expect him to do this forever? No, but I appreciate it very much. And he's looking for an opportunity to encourage people. And whenever we have visitors here, it's an encouragement. So how much do we look for the opportunity? And we can look for an opportunity. There's one over there. Hey, brother so-and-so, why don't you go over there and encourage that person? Why don't me go over and encourage that person? Sons of encouragement. But you know, we can't do that in isolation. If we isolate ourselves from other people, we can't encourage them. Or if we get invited to go to something and we don't go, and then we say, oh, those people are cold. Well, we got to be part of a group. We can't encourage people in silence. If we have the opportunity and we don't say anything, we can't encourage people if there's a lack of interest in others. Boy, I can't wait till he finishes preaching so I can get out of here. How are we going to encourage each other? And you know, every act of encouragement is seen by our master and will be rewarded by him, even giving a cup of cold water in his name. Well, how do we become sons of encouragement, daughters of encouragement? We've just looked at some of that. But we are not born a son of encouragement. We are made a son of encouragement, a daughter of encouragement, through a deliberate decision to be strong in the faith and to work at it. It's not going to happen by accident. It's not going to happen. We have to have that perceptive heart that sees the needs of others. Have you ever seen somebody crying? And we have two choices. We can just walk away. We can walk up and say, you know, I notice you're sad. Can I help you with something? You know, we don't have to fix the problem, but we have to show an interest and take interest in the person and encourage them. Just think if Christ didn't take an interest in us. And if we want to be a son of encouragement, we have to be approachable too. We don't have to be Mr. Outgoing, Mr. Life of the Party and slap everybody on the back. We just have to be approachable. Again, you see a person coming. Do I want to be that person that someone would walk up to me and talk to me? Or do I want to be that person when someone sees me coming, they turn and go the other way so they can avoid me. We have to be approachable. So can it be said that you are a son of encouragement or a daughter of encouragement? Or am I? Would you be chosen to go and encourage another group? Why or why not? You know, Barnabas was a faithful, enthusiastic, dedicated Christian. He was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and the faith. Barnabas had an active religion. There are many good things in Barnabas's life that we need to emulate in our life. Of all of those things, what was his nickname? What was he noted for? Of all of those good qualities, he was a son of encouragement. And I tell you, there have been people in my life, you know, the person, there's a problem. I know if I can go to this person, again, he may not fix the problem. Everything's so much better. So much better. And I can make it through another day. I can look forward to tomorrow. We need to be that kind of person. We need to lift up somebody's life. We need to be looking for somebody to help. There was an old man that got on a bus. It was late in the afternoon, busy time of the day. The bus was crowded, and he was carrying a bouquet of flowers, and the only place he saw that was available to sit was toward the back. And there was a young mother, had some rowdy, noisy kids there, and he went back and he sat down across close to this lady, this mother. And the kids were just out of control. They were tired. It had been a long day for everybody. And he noticed the mother was having a difficult day. And he took the bouquet of flowers and he said, "Here, I'd like for you to have these." And she said, "No, I can't take that. Thank you, but I can't take that." And she said, "Aren't those for somebody else?" And he said, "Well, they were for my wife." He said, "You take them, I'll let her know what I did, and she'll understand." Well, she took the flowers, and then the next stop, the old man got up, and she watched as he walked down the aisle. He got off the bus, he walked up to where this big gate was, and he entered into the cemetery where he was going to visit his wife. He took those flowers and gave it to this mother that was having a rough day. What do you think? How do you think she felt? You know, we need to look for opportunities to encourage people. Life is so short, eternity is so long. When we are gone, what will people remember us for? What nickname will we have? Hopefully one of the names that people will think of us as is an encourager. Friends, I want to encourage you right now. If you're not right with God, you need to make your life right. Don't put it off. I think everybody here knows what they need to do. We just need to do it. Encourage each other. Live faithfully for God, because Satan's going to be working hard to take us back into the world. If there's anybody that needs to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.